I see. I wonder what these children's future will be. It's now time to stand up.
Romans chapter 10, and I've really enjoyed the singing, and if there ever was a time when we need to stand up for our country and for the principles of righteousness, it's now, and pray exceedingly and be involved as a citizen in this upcoming election. May we stand, please, as we turn to Romans chapter 10. Verse number 16 and 17. Romans 10, 16 and 17. And the Bible says there, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias or Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege. Thank you, God, for loving us and giving your son on the cross. Thank you, blessed Spirit, for energizing and helping us. And we thank you for the invitation of the pastor. Bless he and his family and the staff and these dear people. And Lord, if there's one here that's lost, may they be saved today. May they realize their need and turn from their sins and accept you as their own personal Savior. Lead and direct as we preach in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. I'd like to talk to you on the subject, do you believe God? Isaiah said here, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Do you believe God? Do you believe the Bible? The number one thing that God is working toward in your life is to get you to trust him more, to you to look to him and depend upon him more. One of the biggest problems I had in all my life is I'm so self-centered. I'm so self-efficient. I just like to grab hold and do it. But God wants us to depend on him, to look to him. In fact, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and we'll see there that there are two immutable things. Now, most people don't use the word immutable. That's kind of a strange word to the average person. But here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, we have in verse 16 that for men verily swear by the greater, they swear by God, and an oath, for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. They swear, they're telling the truth, and that is far as you can go. And then verse number 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, that word immutable means unchangeable, unalterable, something that cannot be changed, something that cannot be altered. By two immutable things. One, God cannot lie. Impossible for him to lie. It's absolutely, it's beyond his ability to lie. And then secondly, he took an oath on his honor that he would not lie, that he would not overstate. Many times you and I, we make a promise, we intend to keep it, we're honest, but then there's something that comes between, an accident on the freeway, or something else happens, and we're unable to keep our word. But God, in order to try to get you to really believe him and trust him, he said, first, I cannot overstate or lie. And secondly, I know every ramification. I know everything that's going on. And when I tell you that I'll do something for you, there's nothing that can interfere. There's two immutable things. One, God cannot lie. And then secondly, God says, I'm telling you, I'm thoughtful in what I'm saying, and I have the ability to bring it to pass. Two immutable things. God cannot lie. God wants you to believe him. God wants you to trust him. We find back in Romans, it says, by faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible is a faith-building book. And you read of what God did for others. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll do for you what he promises that he will do. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 11 rather, verse number 5 or 6, Bible says there, Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. You want to please God? Then he wants you to learn to trust him, to depend upon him, to believe him, to accept his promise as literal, and understand that he knew exactly what he was saying. And he has the power and the wisdom and the ability to perform exactly what he said. Look, please, in this verse a little further, in Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is a living, present tense God. He's not some far off, distant deity, but he ever liveth. He's present tense. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, sincerely, with the heart seek him. So the Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 10 here, in verse 38, the just or the saved, the one that's been justified or born again, shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, you start out living for the Lord, by faith. He said, if anyone draws back, God has no pleasure. And then he says in verse 39, for we're not of them that draw back to destruction, but we are them to the believing of the saving of the soul or life. God has a good and acceptable plan for your life. Do you believe God? First, do you believe him as a Christian, as a believer? Do you believe the Bible? Let's turn to Matthew chapter number 6. There we have a verse that I'd like for you to see. Matthew 6:33. And there the Bible says, Matthew 6:33. And I was saved on July 10th in 1948. 1949, I found this verse. I was reading here in Matthew 6:33, and it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I thought, that just can't be. That just can't be. I read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. I thought that meant God's work, the ministry, doing God's business, and his righteousness, what he'd have you to do, moves on your heart to do for him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I thought, what things? If I put God first, I could understand that. If I put him first in my life, then he would supply all my needs. And I began to go back up in the sixth chapter. What's he talking about here? He said, look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't toil, the sparrows, and yet God feeds the birds. Will he not feed you, O you of little faith? And I thought, now that must mean that if I put him first, that God will enable me and will supply my food. And I already had the evidence of being called to preach because I like to eat. That's one of the, I like chicken. And so I thought, well, that if I put him first, he said he'd supply my food. Then I read a little further up, said, look at the lilies, look at the flowers, how beautiful. And yet they don't sow, they don't put in a crop, and yet God clothed all the flowers, and even Solomon in all of his riches, and the great different garments that he owned is not attired like the flowers. And if God will clothe the flowers, then why won't he clothe you, oh, you little faith? I thought, man, this is a good deal. This just, somehow, it just can't really be true. I better go ask the preacher about this. So I get my old blue 39 Chevrolet. I drive a mile down to the parsonage. I go and knock on the door. One of his daughters comes to the door. I didn't even say hello. I said, is the pastor in? Yes, he's in the study. I walk past her. I took my own Bible because I probably thought the poor preacher don't have a Bible. And I laid my Bible down in front of him. And I said, Brother Ted, look at this verse here. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I went up here and I said, look, he feeds the birds. Aren't you more important than the birds? He clothed the flowers. If he clothed the flowers, won't he clothe you? I said, is that what it means, Brother Ted, that if I put God first, I was just a new convert, that he'll supply all my needs? He said, that's exactly what it means. I got my Bible. I didn't say thank you. In fact, I didn't even say hello when I went into study. I wasn't even invited in. I got my Bible, and I got back in my old blue 39 Chevrolet, drove out about half a mile, went out under a shade tree, and I said, God, you being my helper, from this day on, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to try to do what you want me to do in my life. And you're going to have to supply all my needs. And a greater need was a wife, somebody to love me, someone to build me up, someone to make me her champion. And God never blessed any man with any greater wives than what I've had in my two wives, one of 41 years and the other of 16. Do you believe God? God's not a respecter of persons. See, he wants to share in your life. He wants part of your life. He wants to put you in a situation, let you get there where you will have to look to him and trust him. Do you believe God as a Christian? Look over here in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, if you would, please. Malachi chapter 3. There we have in verse 10. There the Bible says, bring all the tithes, that's 10%, into the storehouse, equivalent to the local church, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. See that there? He says, bring all the tithe, 10%, and give it back to me through the place that I receive offerings. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the window of heavens and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to contain it. Here's what he's trying to say. Let's go into business together. You as my servant and I as your Lord. And let's make an agreement. I'm going to bless you with 100%. I want you to bring back 10% and give to me that I can invest for you in the bank of heaven. Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where on earth where thieves steal and rust corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And here, you take the 90% and I'll bless. See, a lot of us haven't done too good in managing our finances. We need somebody with a little more expertise. We need somebody with a little more wisdom and power and ability. And God said, I want to be that person. You're my child. You're my kid. I want to bless you. I want to raise you up. I want you to prosper. I want you to do well. And so here's the deal. You give me back the 10%. I'll invest that. And then I'll guarantee you that I'll make the 90% go much further than if you kept the whole 100%. Do you believe God? Look at this verse here again. And prove me, he said. Try me. Just put me to the test. Just believe me and see if I won't do it. Not only that, but I want to give you a new modern day translation in verse 11. Are you ready? And I will rebuke all the road hazards, and your tires will run longer. I want to keep you from some accident. I want to keep you from getting all nervous and having to go buy a bunch of medicine. See, he is the one. He said, I'll open the windows and bless you. The heaven and the earth are his. And in addition to that, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy your fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast fruit before the time. See, don't you think God can do that? See, it's a matter for you to trust him. Do you believe God? Do you believe God when it comes to witnessing and winning souls? Listen to me. The only reason you're not getting people saved is that you have not accepted the fact that that's your birthright. That's the primary purpose for you being alive. Everything that's healthy reproduces. Cattle after its kind, creeping things after its kind. Good apple tree produces apples. Young people get married and they have children. And see, you, the child of God, are reproduced by getting other people saved. And here in Psalms 126, it says that that he that goeth forth and weepeth, that's not a preacher. That's not somebody with the gift of gab. That's you or me or anyone. He that goeth forth and weepeth with a burdened heart, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Why? Because he's bringing lost souls with him, bringing back the sheaves. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. See, it's a matter of saying, Lord, I want to be a soul. I want to help my family. I want to help my friends. I want to keep people from being lost and going to hell. And you believe God, he says, anyone, not someone with the gift of gab, not someone that has a Bible college education, anyone, he that goeth forth and weepeth, concern, burden, make a friend of that person, work with them, get close to them, treat them with love, treat them with respect, treat them until they trust you, and then give them the word of God, will doubtless come back, bringing some precious person with him. Do you believe God? Then secondly, in this message, I want to ask you this question to the unsaved. Do you believe God? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it when the Bible says that God made you in his image and likeness? That you are an eternal being? That you'll live a little while on this earth? And then like all of us, you leave this earth. And the Bible says the wages of sin, the payoff, what a person gets for being a sinner, is death or separation from God and heaven. See, God never made hell for any man. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But if you live your whole life and God attempts to touch your heart, to point you, to get your attention, to try to get you to consider your need of salvation, and you go your whole life and you're still unsaved, then there's only two eternal places: heaven for the saved, for the redeemed, for those that's accepted the sacrificial death of Jesus as payment for their sins, and a place called hell that God made for the devil. And my friend, if you die in your sin and go to hell, it'll break God's heart. It's such a needless thing. He said, I love you. I've already paid for your sins. I've already accepted my son's death as full payment for your sins. If you turn from your sin and come and acknowledge your sin to me and say, God, please forgive me and save me for Jesus' sake. He said, I promise you, I'll save you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that's you, that's anyone, that's every little boy, every little girl, whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. Do you believe Jesus when he said, except a man is born again, you cannot enter into heaven. Born again means born spiritually. It's like the physical birth. I was born on March 18th physically. I was born again on July 10th spiritually. Unless a person has a definite experience in grace, he cannot go to heaven. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall not, you shall all likewise perish. Do you believe God, that God loves you? He's made provision for you. He gave his son for you. Jesus hung on the cross as your substitute, satisfying God's wrath against your sin. That if you turn from your sin and come and ask him, for Jesus' sake, he'd save you. Do you believe God? By grace, the Bible says, are you saved through faith? And that not of yourself is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Several years ago, I had a friend who was traveling across Montana on into Washington, preaching a series of meetings. And he began to listen to the radio and CDs and great music and great preaching. And he began to pray, and God touched his heart. And he got so burdened, I want to talk to someone about Jesus. And he stopped for gas. The service station attendant was already saved. And then he looked up on a hillside. There's a shepherd boy out there, a young man. Sir, could I park my car here and go up on the hill there and talk to that young man? He said, sure. Just put it right there. It's safe. It's out of the way. So he crossed through the fence, walked several hundred yards up on the mountainside and began to talk to that boy who's rather lonely out there by himself for hours and hours and hours. He very open. The preacher began to tell him that all of us have sinned. He said, I know I've sinned. That all, if they paid for their sins, would be separated from God and go into a place that God made for the devil. And the boy acknowledged that. And that Jesus died in your place, that God so loved you, that he gave his own precious son to bear all of your sins and to pay for your sins by dying. That if you had turned from your sins and call on his name, he'd save you. The boy bowed his head. They prayed. And the boy said, sir, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. The preacher went back over it again. You know you sin? Oh, yes. You know that you've done wrong and you have guilt and that God's making you realize you'd go to hell? Oh, yes. You realize that God gave his son? Yes, sir. Let's pray again. They prayed again. Said, I don't feel anything. I'm sorry. So the preacher said, son, make it personal. Do this with me. Say, Jesus died just for me. And when you say me, believe it. Jesus, boy said, Jesus died just for me. Sorry. He said, when you come to your thumb this time, Jesus died just for me. Take your other hand and squeeze your thumb. Jesus died just for me. He said, Jesus died just for me. He said, I'm sorry. And the preacher walked sadly down the hill, got back in his car. Every day he thought about the boy. He even changed his route about 3 or 4 weeks later, come back by there to talk to that boy. And when he pulled into the station and looked up on the hill, there was no one there. He asked the service station attendant, where's the boy? And he said, he's dead. So, oh no, he can't be dead. Oh, yes. I said, the boy I talked to. He said, I know you're a preacher. You went up there. You parked your car right here. That boy's dead. I went to his funeral last week. He said, oh, no, not that boy. He said, yes, sir. He said, what happened? You can see that this pasture land grazed out. They moved him up into the high mountains, and an unseasonal storm came, and he froze to death with his sheep. He said, oh, no, no. I said, yes. I said, is that all? He said, there was one strange thing. When they found the boy, he is squeezing his thumb. And he said, Jesus died just for me. He died just for you. He hung on the cross just for you. He knew all about your sins. He is willing to take them in with himself in order to pay for your sins. And God promised, son, if you pay for her sins or his sins, for your sake, I'll forgive them and save them if they'll only believe and ask me. Do you believe God? Let's bow our heads, please.